Thank you for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. A little bit later on in the show, I'll check in with regional and national agricultural news, but we will start the show off here today with a feature report from Taylor Chalstrom. That is coming up right after this word from our sponsor.
The Musco Family Olive Company is leading the transformation of the table olive industry. We are committed to the California olive grower and invite you to grow with our family. Modern table olive orchards apply newly perfected, state-of-the-art planting and harvesting to one of the world's oldest tree crops for proven superior results. Musco is proud to be America's favorite olive, offering Pearls and early California brands loved nationwide. There is opportunity in any crop transition, and Musco is proud to offer long-term contracts and free trees to our grower partners. Visit our website at www.olives.com/milliontrees to join the table olive revolution.
Growers are constantly looking for the newest, most innovative methods for applying sprays in their fields or orchards, and it's more important now than ever to be spray conscious in the wake of skyrocketed input costs. I spoke to spray company representatives at the Colusa Farm Show earlier this month to gauge spray technologies that are coming to the market. Jose Maldonado with Ag Spray Equipment said that a lot of the innovations are being made with spray tips.
The design and the new modifications that we've done over the years on spray tips in general have really helped on that aspect. It seems like every day there's something new coming out in the marketplace that's supposed to help with efficiencies and drift controls and stuff like that, which are some of the top issues, you know, that a lot of the growers, applicators deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Maldonado said in general, new sprayer tip designs are supposed to help growers improve their efficiencies and save on their inputs.
Forever, you know, everybody was just using what they would call a flat fan spray tip, which was the terminology or the most common tip used in the marketplace, to now where you take into consideration the droplet size, air induction or non-air induction, extended coverage, that'll give you a better application rate and also help control drift, so you won't have any drift issues while you're doing your applications.
Steve from PBM Sprayers said that his company is more focused on reducing the cost of the sprayer itself.
We're trying to attack a little smaller grower and keep the cost down. Right now, the air blasts are anywhere between $40,000 and $150,000, where we designed a unit that'll do the same thing for the smaller acreage for, you know, around the $15,000 to $17,000 range. So keeps the price tag down for the smaller grower. Also, too, it's lightweight for some of the, even the bigger growers on some of the new plantings going out on some of this really foul ground that they're buying now and planting on, finding out if there's any moisture they can get out there.
Mark Rickman with Progressive Ag noted the importance of putting spray controllers on any spray implement or driven sprayer.
Just help to make sure that the amount that you're putting on the orchard is accurate, because you can be well under your target rate or well over your target rate. So those systems just really help to make sure that you're putting out the correct amount per acre. If you're 20% over on the amount that you're putting out per acre, you're paying 20% more for your chemical. And if you're under and under applying, you can really risk getting a lot of damage out there in the field.
My thing is, if you don't have a flow control, I would highly recommend it, because now your employee or yourself is not concentrating on speed and pressure. You can speed up and the computer will adjust for it so you're precise. So have chemical savings and labor savings. I have people that have actually paid for them within one season of savings.
The representatives also gave tips on what growers can do for 2022 to maximize their efficiencies. Maldonado said checking their sprayers is the most important step to take first off.
You know, a lot of guys, they'll put it away for a season and they come back next season thinking that it's going to work just the way it did before. And that's probably the main thing that we see out in the marketplace is there's pump issues, there's hose issues, there's spray tip issues that, you know, if you drop a spray tip or you try to clean it with a wire brush or something, you're going to damage the tip. So that's definitely going to affect your spray pattern. You might not notice it right away, but eventually over a couple hundred acres, I mean, you'll really notice a difference, you know, using more material, and that gets more expensive in the long run.
Make sure that you're putting on your right rate, and make sure early season you do tend to go less volume per acre early season, because you don't need that amount of water early season when you're doing bloom applications or early season pesticide applications.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture recently released its preliminary 2021 crush report showing 3,000,000 858,841 tons of grapes were crushed. That's up 8.7% from the short crop of 2020. That year, the crush was slightly more than 3.5 million tons. Only a few years ago, the state's wine grape industry was suffering from an oversupply, but that's no longer the case, says Jeff Bitter, president of Allied Grape Growers in Fresno.
We've become in a situation in this state where we're in balance from a supply and demand standpoint from the last two crops having been short, including the 2021 crop, which this report summarizes. And so that's been very helpful, as some say in the industry, back into balance from an oversupply situation in 2018 and 19. And so it was just what we needed to continue the balance we began to achieve after the 2020 harvest. But we are still very carefully looking as we move forward to see what, you know, future crop bring to us in terms of overall supply.
Growers during the last year or so have removed about 15,000 acres of vineyards. As of 2020, the state reported a total of 620,000 acres of wine grapes, both bearing and non-bearing. Growers also have planted about 15,000 acres, amounting to a wash. Overall acreage, as well as varietal makeup, is something Bitter is keeping a close eye on, especially as it relates to grape supply and demand.
We're always looking at the balance of acreage plantings and removals, and about 15,000 acres can be documented being removed this past year and during this winter right now. But we're also planting at a rate of about 15 to 18,000 acres a year. So the net is really just zero. It's a balanced situation with regard to our acreage base. And that remains at around 575 to 580,000 bearing acres. And we are forecasting that won't change significantly for the foreseeable future. If I had to identify a variety that I have the most concerns about today with regard to potential oversupply, it would be Pinot Noir, and primarily in coastal regions outside of the highest end of the market, but kind of your standard coastal Pinot Noir that might be going into the bottles that are priced in the teens at retail. There's been a lot of plantings of Pinot over the last few years, and I think we've gotten to a point where perhaps we can say that supply is definitely caught up with demand and maybe even exceeding it as we move forward.
In its preliminary crush report, the state also reported an average price of $848.42 per ton for the 2021 crush. That's up nearly 25% from 2020. But Bitter said that number can be deceiving, and you have to look at historical pricing to put things in perspective. By doing so, you can see the price increase is actually in the single digits.
So the one-year change in price, in average price, is very deceiving. And the reason it's deceiving is because the 2020 crop included a huge drop in average price because of smoke exposure on many coastal vineyards, which rendered those grapes either completely unmarketable or discounted. And so what happened, if you look at 2020 averages, you had the average price of coastal grapes reduced, or they weren't even reported in the crush report because the grapes weren't crushed, because they were left on the vine. And if you take out, you know, your higher priced grapes from the average, it's going to drop the average down. And so that average price dropped significantly in 2020. And so now it returned to normal in 2021, but it looks like there was this huge increase in price, which really wasn't there. It was just a one-year phenomenon based on the drop in price in 2020. So if you go back further and look at average price trends for grape beyond 2020, back to 2019 and 18, you'll see that it was trending up at a much slower pace than, you know, the pace that we saw this year, where it increased that 20 some odd percent. And what I can say is that at that trend that we've seen, which is just single digit price increase growth over the last few years, it is certainly not keeping up with rising costs. So I actually feel like it's harder today for growers to make money growing wine grapes than it has been in the past, because those margins continue to get squeezed if they even exist at all.
Unlike 2020, which was marred by heavy, lingering wildfire smoke that impacted wine grape quality in several North Coast production areas, Bitter said 2021 saw very little smoke damage.
Well, the fires virtually did not impact anything outside of the Sierra foothills during the 2021 harvest. There was certainly some other wildfires in the state outside of the Sierra foothills, and there was smoke in the air as well because of those fires and others. But in reality, if you look overall at the delivery of grapes throughout the state, in most coastal areas and also in the interior, there was very little, if any, grapes at all affected by wildfire smoke impact, winery rejections, winery discounting. None of that happened in 2021 like it did in 2020. Again, the only area that might have had some disproportionate negative effects would be the Sierra foothills.
Like most everybody in agriculture, Bitter said wine grape growers are concerned about dry conditions heading into the 2022 season. In fact, he suspected the drought during 2021 was the reason the crop was off by about 10%. And it could have a lingering effect, as stressed vines last year just don't have the energy to put on a full crop this year.
Well, we're very concerned, as anybody is in agriculture at this point. Last year, we definitely saw the impacts of the drought, water restrictions, limited water availability, cost of water, all of those things having to do with water. That definitely impacted our crop size last year. That's probably one of the main reasons I would point to for the crop that was 10% off of average. And as we move into this year, what we have is a situation where a lot of those vines that were water starved last year failed to produce strong canopies, good sized fruiting wood. And so that actually could carry over into this year in terms of a reduction in the ability to produce a full crop. And then on top of that, we are, again, potentially lacking with water availability for this year. And so it could be a little bit of a snowball effect where we see another short crop because of the restricted water situation.
The state's wine grape growers have not had too many direct supply chain issues, but Bitter said they have experienced indirect problems that have led to rising costs. The state's ever-increasing minimum wage also continues to impact wine grape growers and their wallets.
Yeah, well, it works kind of both ways. So we've seen some bulk imports of wine also being affected, which has been good for California growers. That, when bulk imports are restricted, then obviously the buyers look to California to fill that supply. But yes, there's concerns with, like in every industry, with being able to export products. But overall, the California wine industry is a net importer of wine. So you've got about one out of every three bottles of wine in the United States that's consumed is foreign, but we're only exporting around 10 or 12% of our production. So there's already an imbalance on the import-export side. As far as supply chain issues on the farm, what we're really seeing is just higher prices. That restricted availability of materials has driven prices up, specifically for fertilizer or anything related to steel. If you're developing a vineyard, like stakes and wire, we've seen huge increases in cost of those items, and also anything that's reliant upon labor. So clearly there's lots of operations that happen in the vineyard that are labor reliant. But you've also got, if you're developing a vineyard, you've got to buy grapevines. And the process of producing young grapevines and propagating young grapevines for planting is very labor intensive. So we're seeing the cost of labor that has skyrocketed in California over the last 5 years with the dollar per hour average increase over the last 5 years. That has really impacted the price of a vine. And so no matter where you turn, the California grower is facing increased cost. And what little bit of increase of price that we've gotten for the grapes over the last few years has been more than masked by the increase in cost.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com. Learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with phycoterra.
Being a member of the California walnut industry means working together to advance the industry through advocacy, research programs, and promoting walnuts with smart, cost-effective marketing. Learn more at walnuts.org.
Stay tuned as the Maya AgLife Daily News Report continues with regional and national agricultural news.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
In regional agricultural news here today, while overall infestations remain relatively low, instances of branched broom rape in California have been on the rise. Industry efforts have also been ramping up in recent years to try and limit the spread and impact of the weed. Managing Director of the California Tomato Research Institute, Zach Bagley, says there has been increased focus on quarantining the pest since 2019. The weed poses a risk to growers, as even a small infestation can result in a 100% crop loss due to having to be destroyed. The pest poses a threat to tomatoes, carrots, melons, lettuce, and several other crops. Other Mediterranean regions addressing issues of branched broom ape have served as a model for some of the approaches being taken in California. Bagley said the efforts are ongoing and the registration process for materials used in a mitigate program initially developed in Israel. A legislative approach to the issue is also being undertaken with the introduction of AB 1620, which would essentially establish a commodity board specifically for broom rape. California growers have a new tool from BASF that can help fight diseases in grapes, tree nuts, stone, and palm fruit. BASF Technical Service Representative Dr. Kevin Caffrey said that growers are reporting Sevia fungicide is showing quite a bit of success against some of their toughest diseases. Sevia fungicide is also a new active ingredient to give growers an opportunity to combat resistance. In grapes, it's a fantastic powdery mildew product. There hadn't been any new FRAC 3 class product in nearly 20 years. BASF developed Sevia from the ground up to have fantastic efficacy, fit with global regulatory needs, and continue to be a strong product into the future, according to Caffrey. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced the appointment of 7 members and 10 alternate members to serve on the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council. Members and alternates newly appointed will serve a 3-year term, with the term ending December 31st of 2024. From California, John Johnston of Watsonville was named as an importer member. Alternate members appointed to fill vacancies with a term ending December 31st of 2022 from California is Joseph A. Barcy of Watsonville. He is an importer alternate. The 20-member council is comprised of 12 producers, 4 importers, 2 exporters, 1 handler, and 1 public member. Each member seat has a corresponding alternate seat. Members and alternates can serve up to 2 consecutive 3-year terms. USDA's Animal Plant Health Inspection Service has paused inspections of avocados for Michoacan, Mexico, so that shipments of the fruit to the U.S. are temporarily suspended. According to Mexico's Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development, USDA said that one of its inspectors received a threatening call to their official mobile phone. The Mexican state is the only one approved to export avocados to the U.S. The Mexican state is the only one approved to export avocados to the U.S., and it has had gang and violence problems for a while, which sometimes affects avocado growers. The suspension was announced the weekend of the Super Bowl, for which Avocados from Mexico bought a high-profile TV ad and other promotions.
Soil fumigation is a critical step to ensure that your orchard gets off to a good start. Trichlor is a pre-plant soil fumigant and is the foundation for a successful pest management system. Targeted pathogens include soil-borne disease and nematodes. Fumigation helps to create a healthy soil environment that allows the plant's root system to flourish. For more information about Trichlor or to schedule an application, contact Trical Incorporated at 669-327-5076 or visit www.trical.com.
Later this year, the Supreme Court will try to finally clarify what the Clean Water Act means by waters of the U.S. and whether the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers have gone too far in regulating wetlands. The legal fight over a broad versus narrow interpretation of WOTUS has gone on for decades, taking a toll on farming and construction, and is once again headed to the nation's highest court. Tony Francois is co-counsel with the Pacific Legal Foundation, challenging the government in Sackett's versus EPA in a bid to replace a split court ruling in 2006 with a clear majority behind a narrow WOTUS definition.
The regulators have used the expansiveness and the kind of ambiguity and vagueness of the significant nexus test to really push the outer limits of their authority.
The High Court split the earlier Rapanos versus U.S. case on whether WOTUS requires a significant connection to navigable waters, sending the case back to a lower court and further muddying the waters. That led to horror stories from producers like California farmer and rancher Jack LePent on a recent Heritage Foundation panel discussion.
At one meeting in Sacramento, the lead with the Army Corps explained to me, and these are his words, "Mr. LePent, we do not own your property, but we own all the water coming from the heavens."
Even after getting the okay from the Farm Service Agency and the Soil Conservation Service to farm his land the way it had always been farmed, Heritage Senior Research Legal Fellow Paul Larkin Jr. argues Congress needs to fix the statute.
All it says is waters of the United States, which doesn't tell you which particular waters matter. After all, a term has to be sufficiently clear, not only so that can be understood, has to be sufficiently clear so that it can be applied in real life by average people.
Not expensive geologists, hydrologists, and lawyers to figure out if a piece of land is the waters of the United States. Larkin says Congress did not intend to create such a burden and throw criminal penalties on top of it based on a vague statute. He predicts a more conservative Supreme Court today will rule against expansive agency power and finally end the WOTUS confusion and unfairness. A group of U.S. agricultural organizations had filed a lawsuit against the Environmental Protection Agency over chlorpyrifos. DTN says the 21 groups want the agency's pending ban on the product to be halted and eventually revoked. The lawsuit was filed as the EPA will finalize its rule revoking the food tolerances for the insecticide on February 28th. That will effectively ban U.S. farmers from legally using the product. The rule was issued by the Biden EPA in August of 2021. The ag groups filed a series of petitions asking the judge to issue a stay, halting the EPA's pending ban until the lawsuit can be reviewed. The lawsuit itself asked the judge to vacate the EPA's rule revoking food pesticide tolerances based on the harm to agriculture and the EPA's history of re-registering and approving the insecticide. This is the second attempt by ag groups to halt the EPA's final rule banning chlorpyrifos. After a long hiatus due to COVID, the USDA is about to resume in-person trade missions. USDA Farm News reporter Gary Crawford.
A group of over 40 representatives of U.S. food companies, state agriculture department leaders, and others are on their way now to the Middle East for what will be
the first in-person trade mission in 2 years.
Daniel Whitney runs the USDA's Foreign Ag Service. He's leading the mission to Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. And of course, the mission, very simple.
To discover new export opportunities in the region.
U.S. companies and commodity groups will be meeting one-on-one with potential buyers. Plus, the five-day mission, which starts on the 16th, coincides with a huge annual food show in Dubai, which brings together hundreds of buyers and sellers of food and beverages. And so, Daniel Whitney says,
I'm very, very confident that our companies will find success. We are excited that they will be able to enter into agreements and arrangements to sell more American products there than ever before.
United Arab Emirates, already $1 billion a year buyer of U.S. products, but Whitley says the demand for those products keeps growing, and so
we think our companies will walk away with a very successful trade mission.
Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.